At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Nearly 100 migrant children have arrived at a Department of Health and Human Services temporary shelter in West Texas. Officials estimate by the end of today there will be almost 300 kids at the shelter. It's located about 20 miles southeast of El Paso at the Tornillo Port of Entry. Roughly 2,000 children have been separated from their families at the border since the Trump administration's zero-tolerance order went into effect in April. That's according to the Associated Press. Jose Rodriguez is a state senator who represents West Texas.
That really adds up to an average of about 45 children being separated or taken away from their parents each day. And this is just unconscionable. It's just inhumane. It's unacceptable. And our community is not going to stand for this.
Rodriguez's district includes Tornillo, where the Trump administration set up the temporary shelter yesterday. Children began arriving at the facility soon after the announcement. On average, children are kept at shelters for a total of 45 to 90 days. Today, the State Board of Education okayed the name for the first state-approved course on Mexican-American history in Texas public schools. Donna Bohorich is board chair.
This is voice vote only. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. All right, that motion is adopted.
The course will be called Ethnic Studies, Mexican-American Studies. The panel reached this compromise after facing criticism for initially naming the class Ethnic Studies, an overview of Americans of Mexican descent, at the urging of a single board member. The NBA season ended last week with the Golden State Warriors claiming a second straight title, but there's still one very important basketball game to be played. KERA's Stephen Becker reports on how a late-night talk show host and a senator from Texas will settle their beef on the court tomorrow.
It all started when Texas Senator Ted Cruz tweeted a picture of himself courtside for Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. His hometown Houston Rockets were trying to keep the Warriors from getting to the NBA Finals. The Rockets lost, which prompted talk show host Jimmy Kimmel to mock the senator on Twitter, saying he looked like a, quote, blobfish. Cruz, a basketball bench warmer in high school, told KERA's Chris Boyd he wasn't taking this loss lying down.
And so I sent out a tweet. I said, all right, big guy, you talk a good game. You have besmirched my support for the Houston Rockets. Let's settle this man-to-man. One-on-one, hoops.
Kimmel was in.
So I immediately went online and Googled how to guard a blobfish. And then, I went on Twitter and I wrote back, I like this idea. I'll accept on one condition. We both wear very short shorts, which would be great, right?
Wrong, said Cruz.
I laughed out loud and I tweeted back. I said, listen, I said, as Borat demonstrated conclusively, nobody wants to see that. You dress yourself, I'll dress myself. He then came back again and said, crop tops? To which I said, knock yourself out.
So it's settled. The late night host and the junior senator from Texas will square off Saturday on the campus of Texas Southern University in Houston. It's like LeBron versus Steph. Minus the skill.
It's American versus Canadian. Baller versus Blobfish. Kimmel versus Cruz. The Blobfish Basketball Classic.
Cruz isn't guaranteeing victory, but he can make one promise.
Under no circumstances will Kimmel dunk on me. If he goes up to dunk, I'll pull his shorts to the ground rather than let him get to the rim.
We'll get a look at just how short those shorts are on Saturday. In Washington, I'm Stephen Becker. KERA News.
There's a charity angle to Saturday's game. If Cruz wins, Kimmel will donate to the education nonprofit Generation One. And if Kimmel wins, Cruz will write a check to the Texas Children's Hospital. A new theater company in Dallas hopes to stand out by performing plays from the past. The Classics Theater Project makes its debut next week, presenting Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard. In our weekly State of the Arts conversation, KERA's Ann Bothwell talks with the company's artistic director, Joey Folsom, about why classic plays still matter.
Joey Folsom, welcome to KERA.
Thanks for having me.
North Texas has a lot of theater companies. Mm-hmm. What is going to be different about the Classics Theater Project?
Well, last I heard, North Texas has over 200 registered theater producing companies and plenty of ones that aren't registered. And I don't know any that have decided to have a mission that's dedicated to putting up these quote-unquote classical pieces. I see a lot of theaters leaning towards the new. Shakespeare, there's five companies that I know of that are dedicated to Shakespeare, and plenty of other companies that will add in a Shakespearean piece every other season or every season. But there is just a whole lot of great theater that happened between Shakespeare and now. It's great that we have the new work, the original work, but that's not going to resound as much without the counter, the classical, I think. These things feed each other. If one isn't present, then the other lacks luster.
Is it possible that it's just not being done because those pieces aren't going to attract an audience?
I don't think so at all. What I've observed is there's a comfort to hearing Shakespeare, Chekhov, Ibsen. I'm familiar with these. Given the last couple of years and the trends in theater, there is an element of, well, are they going to point at me and tell me I'm a monster if I go see this show? Because I've never heard of this playwright. I don't know this title. You know, so I'm apprehensive. I don't want to go in and be told that I'm a monster or told that I'm wrong or my views are bad.
It sounds like what you're saying is the classics are less confrontational and more open to interpretation than perhaps some of today's modern theater.
Yes, absolutely. They've been around. And because there is that familiarity, it makes them approachable. You're watching this thing about the cherry orchard, but the cherry orchard can mean so many things, and it will to so many people in the audience. And it's going to mean one thing to this person, another to that person, but it's not coming out and shaking a finger. I appreciate that kind of theater. I really do. I think it needs to exist. But for all those people that are off-put by those things, they got to have a place to go. The classics allow that accessibility.
Are you going to be updating or adapting classics, or are you going to be more of a traditionalist, you know,
what
purist?
Is a traditionalist? What is a purist? You know, because I keep thinking about that. You know, we don't talk the way that they do in England, and they don't talk the way they do in England when Shakespeare was written, right? These things are translated. There's cultural references, and I'm making them for an audience here and now. So no, I'm not a purist. To me, somebody who says, "Oh, I'm a purist, I'm going to do it traditionally," means that they're not taking any risk, they're playing it safe, and they're choosing to make dead theater.
Usually a theater company will announce a full season of productions that it will be doing in the coming year. And you have chosen not to do that. You've announced The Cherry Orchard, and you said you're going to produce 3 plays this season, but you haven't said what they are. Why take that approach?
There's that, again, staying relevant factor. I could pick a show to do 18 months from now, but all kinds of things could happen in the world. This allows for us to go, oh, this is the perfect time to do this show. If I've trapped myself where I'm locked into this season for the next year, then I can't do that. And on top of that, people don't buy season tickets anymore. I mean, who wants to plan their life that far in advance? It's an old model. I'm not going to try to make something that wasn't working 30 years ago work now.
You're a startup theater company. I imagine that you don't have incredibly deep pockets. Are you paying your artists?
Yes. Yes, we are. We're paying our artists. It's very important to us. A community has to invest in its artists to retain them. Otherwise, they go. And we're not going to have the art grow to enrich the culture of the community. We're not strengthening our community if we don't invest in the artists. We pay everybody.
Joey Folsom, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
The Cherry Orchard debuts Thursday and runs through July 14th. For details, visit artandseek.org. For the evening, mostly clear skies tonight. Should be a low around 79 later on. Tomorrow, sunny with a high around 95. And tomorrow night, much of the same. Partly cloudy. Should be a low around 77. At 6:30, this is KERA News.